Welcome to the Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. It was Jesus Christ who said that he chose us, and he did so that we can bear good fruit. I'm here to encourage you today that through the power of God and through prayer and through obedience, we all can be effective in the kingdom of God in reaching others. If there ever was a time that people need to come to Christ, it is now. God wants to use every believer to be effective in reaching those who are lost. I want you to join us today as we share the Word of God about fruitfulness in our witness and then how to be effective in our prayer life when we need God to move for us. Come and go with us as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word. What would it have been like if you were one of the disciples that spent 3 years or so with Jesus Christ? You would listen to his teaching. You saw and experienced the miraculous signs and wonders that he performed. You were right there with him. You also noticed something else about Jesus. Jesus had a habit and a practice of praying to God the Father. They heard him pray. They saw him pray. They were there and they saw him pray over the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread before they passed it out to 5,000 or more people. They saw him offer a prayer at the tomb of Lazarus before he called Lazarus up from the dead. They were looking at this. They eventually realized and recognize the connection between prayer and power and productive results. They said something is going on there with this prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they made a request of Jesus. And let's look at what happened in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus was praying as was his custom. There were times when we're told in the scriptures that he separated himself from his disciples, or he got up early in the morning and went out to a solitary place, or he stayed up all night long and he prayed by himself. Then there were times when he prayed in the company of his disciples. This was an occasion when he prayed in the company of his disciples, and there was something about this prayer that made his disciples curious. They knew there was something about the way Jesus prayed that affected things around them. When Jesus prayed and said, "Father, heal the sick and open the blinded eyes and raise the dead," and then they saw Jesus go lay hands on the sick and they got healed and Jesus raised the dead, they said, you know, there must be something here about this prayer that's causing Jesus to be so productive. They heard something that made them say to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to do that. Teach us how to pray." And how many of you would like God to move not just for you, but through you? See, most of us pray for God to move for us. Not many of us pray that God would move through us and do great and marvelous and mighty things. But it was Jesus who said, "You will do greater things." He was talking to us. And it was Paul who said, "God is able to do more than you can ask or think or imagine according to his power that is at work within you." So there's an expectation for God to do great things through his people. Just in case we didn't know. Let me just say that one more time. There's an expectation for God to do great things through. Somebody say through. Through his people. Now look around the room and see if there are any of his people in here. Yeah, there's some of his people are in here. Yeah. If you're saved, you are his people. And God wants to do great things through his people. And the way he's going to do great things through his people, we got to be able to hear from him what he wants to do. So Jesus responded to his disciples when they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And, you know, that's not a problem with you asking the Lord the same thing. Lord, teach me how to pray. Come on, let's just say that together. Lord, teach me how to pray. In verse 2, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So Jesus responded with what we know as a portion of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, okay, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. The disciples must have looked at Jesus with a look that said, is that it? How do we get the results that we see you getting from prayer? How many of you wish that you could get God to move on your behalf when you pray? How many of you have some things that seems impossible for you, and if God doesn't move for you, there's no way it's going to happen? I believe there's somebody's in that situation right now. I need some things for God to do. And if he doesn't do it, it's just not going to happen. But how many of you know God is able? So if God is able, what is it going to take for him to do it? We're going to talk about this. As we look at this passage where Jesus is teaching us to pray, I want you to think about what you need for your life this next year. What do you need for God to do in your family? What do you need for God to do in your health? What do you need for him to do in your spiritual life as your spiritual fire may be going out? What do you need for him to do in your marriage? What do you need for him to do in your finances? Jesus is going to teach us how to get what we need from God. He resorts to a parable which gives an illustration on how prayer works as he continued to teach his disciples in this passage. In chapter 11, verse 5, he said to them, he gave them, let me give you an illustration. Let me show you how this works. He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He goes to his friend and says, listen, I need some help right now. It's at midnight. I got some company. They've come in town. I don't have anything to feed them. Would you loan me 3 loaves of bread? So the first thing we see is an interaction and a relationship between two friends. That's important. Jesus begins his model prayer by saying, our Father. In this parable, there is a friendship with God. We have a sonship. We have a relationship. If you're going to get anything from God, you need to have a relationship with God. If you're going to get what we need from God, we have to have a what? We need to have a relationship with God. Jesus started the prayer. He said, say our Father. We're going to be Father, God's children when we are born into the family of God through our receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are now the children of God. We are the sons of God. Somebody ought to be excited about that. God is my Father. Jesus said, say our Father. You can go to him in that relationship that he's my Father. I'm talking to my Father and I'm asking my Father who has all things in his hands and can do all things. So I'm not going as a stranger. I'm not going as someone that he doesn't know. I have a relationship with him. We understand that when we go. And secondly, we see that one friend has a need. He has a need. He's desperate. An unexpected guest has arrived late at night. And in that culture, it is appropriate. It's embarrassing when you have a guest and you don't have anything for him after he's traveled so long and so far. So he gets up and the guest comes at 11:30 and he says, are you tired? Are you hungry? Yes, I am. He said, man, I don't have anything to eat. Let me go to my friend and knock on the door. He goes to his friends and asks for 3 loaves of bread to feed his guest. Look at what verse 7 tells us. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. So he must be talking through the door. And my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. Don't come in here with that this time. Now, who is this? You know what time it is? It's midnight. The children are in bed. I ain't getting up. He said, I can't get up, so I don't know what kind of house they have. I don't know what kind of door there is. He's in the bed talking to the man through the door. I can't get up and give you anything. The man is desperate. He has a need. He goes to his friend. And the friend says, what? I ain't getting up. I ain't giving you nothing. But look at what Jesus tells him in verse 8. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus is making a point here. The one inside doesn't want to be bothered. The door is locked. The children are in bed. He says, I can't get up, and I ain't going to get up, and I ain't going to give you nothing. So what we see in this parable, there is resistance, and there's also persistence. The Lord is telling you that when you come and ask, you will have resistance, but you're going to need some persistence. You know, when you go to pray, you will have resistance in your own mind sometimes. And so when you start praying, sometimes the enemy will shoot a fiery dart and says, I don't know why you think God's going to hear you. Look at you. I don't even know why you're praying. When you start praying, as soon as you start praying, a telephone rings. You thought you were desperate, but you decided to answer the phone. I called somebody one time and I said, oh, you busy? Yeah, I was praying. I said, why you answer the phone?
The message of Jesus Christ has never changed. His purpose for those who would believe on him and follow him was for us to be engaged in the ministry of reaching others for the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but shall have everlasting life. He wants to use us through the power of prayer and through the power of the Holy Ghost to be effective witnesses for his kingdom. This is Jerry G. Martin, and if you would like to hear today's message again, you can hear it on our podcast on The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. That's The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. And let me take this opportunity as well to invite you to be our guest at The Light of the World. We meet each Sunday in person at 16161 Old Humble Road. If you're in North Houston, Atascocita, Fall Creek, Summer Creek, Kingwood, you're in our neighborhood. So come on out and be our guest. We trust that God will bless your time with us. I also want to let you know that we do have a bookstore on our campus. At the Beacon Bookstore, you can get Bibles, study materials, church supplies, communion supplies, or whatever you need. If we don't have it, we can order it for you. It's right here on our campus at the Light of the World. Call the Beacon at 281-441-2885. Again, that's 281-441-2885. If you heard the word of God and you would desire someone to stand with you in prayer, call us at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you and we'll be with you again next time.